You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Friday, the 1st of January. We've got what's looking likely to be, at this stage, at time of recording, an all-weather day of action. Wolverhampton, Lingfield, Newcastle and Dundalk. Chepstow's schedule, but not looking good, with an inspection due later on this afternoon. So we'll focus on the all-weather stuff as well as taking a look ahead to the weekend. I'm John Gibby. Kevin O'Malley is with me. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, John. How are you, sir?
There we go. If we could just get you right mic, that would probably help.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, feeling absolutely fab. Now, had a bit of a lazy January, and looking forward to starting 2019 in, you know, properly in February.
We've had the practice month.
Now we'll get on with life.
So everyone knows there's only 11 months of the year after all.
Yeah.
What a weekend in prospect, provided it goes ahead, which it looks like it's going to. Talking about the Dublin Racing Festival.
Yes, indeed. I believe at the moment that we're good to yielding on the hurdles course and good on the chase course. I haven't actually looked at the updated weather forecast in the past 24 hours, so I don't actually know where we are in terms of rain and snow and frost and things. I'm sure the temperature is similar to what it is over here. I'm sure there'll be a risk, but I'm sure Leopardstown will do absolutely everything in their power to get that meeting on. You know, there's so many people with travel plans going over from England over to I should be going over there myself, really. And I've got lots of friends that are going over and obviously paid a lot of money to get there. So, it was a huge success last season, and we want it to be an even bigger one this year. So let's hope the weather doesn't get in the way, John.
Yeah, all I've heard at this stage, and of course this situation could quickly change over the course of the next day or so, but what I've heard is everything's going ahead as planned, just they're going to be running some of the hurdles and the bumper on the Saturday earlier on the card.
Right.
I believe that might be to give the ground a bit of time, to work its way up a little bit ahead of the chases. So that's all I've heard so far about that.
Yeah, well, in regard to rain, I mean, the likes of Larisburg that's running in the Arkle, he wouldn't want to see any rain. I think he's a good ground horse. But apart from that, you'd imagine the majority of horses running over the weekend wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of the wet stuff. But in essence, let's just hope that we get the meeting on.
More on that to come a little bit later on, but we'll start by getting your selections for Friday's action now. I don't want to be pessimistic, but it doesn't look great for Chepstow at this stage. I always say when they call an inspection for the middle of the afternoon the day before the meeting.
Yeah, it's bad news.
It is bad news.
It is bad news.
So you've got two all-weather selections.
I do indeed. I don't... I think Wales is probably the coldest part of the country right now, so Chepstow's got absolutely no chance. We'll start with my best bet of the day, and I've gone for the 3:10 at Wolverhampton on Friday, which is a maiden stakes over a mile. I noticed that James Tate had a debutant winner yesterday at Wolverhampton, and his stable might just be coming into a little bit of form. And I do like to have a look at James Tate's runners in maidens, because sometimes they're overpriced. And I'm interested in his Solar Heights here. A nice little filly. She caught the eye when finishing sixth at Kempton first time out. She ran to a Racing Post rating of 64 there and backed that up with a very decent top speed figure of 55, which on paper at least is the best piece of form in the race by some way. The fact that James Tate seems to be coming into a little bit of form, and just the way that she ran there, she came left coming out of the gates. She was also carried a little bit across the track inside the final furlong and wasn't beaten very far. I think the step up in trip will really suit her as well, because she was staying on quite tidily in the closing stages, and she also obviously gets a little bit of weight from the boys that are running here. In terms of dangers, I do think she'll win. I mean, she's for me, she'd be quite a strong pick. In terms of dangers, obviously Charlie Appleby's runner. Wings of Time, that finished seventh in a maiden at Newmarket earlier on last year. That one's open to improvement, but you know, it's just a bit of an unknown quantity. Wouldn't really be for me. Reggae Runner for Mark Johnston was just very, very green on debut and now steps from 6 furlongs all the way up to 1 mile in one fell swoop. So I'm not too sure how stamina is going to hold out for that one, and just was very green on debut. So I do think it's a very good opportunity for Solar Heights to improve on that Kempton effort here. So that would be my best bet of the day. And for my second, my next best, I've gone for the 325 at Lingfield, which is a 2 mile race, a 2 mile handicap race.
Decent race, this.
It is a decent little race, yeah. Class two. Sorry, it's not a handicap, it's condition stakes. Mm. Yeah, Watersmeet is in there. A couple of very well known names. Watersmeet is a thorough stayer. He's going to ensure a good pace, isn't he? He's just a little bit too inconsistent for me, really. And similar can be said of Sparkplug, who won at Kempton last time out. He actually beat my champion hurdle fancy, Verdana Blue, in the process there. He steps up to 2 miles here. I mean, he's been a mile. 10 furlong horse his whole life, hasn't he?
I remember him folding in the Royal Hunt Cup a few years ago. Yeah. And now he's running over 2 miles.
Yeah, so it's a little bit, you know, to me, he's always been quite a pacey horse, so I don't quite know what to expect from him, really. Lord George, he could run well. He ran well here over 12 furlongs last time out. He's another pace angle in the race as well. He's sure not to give Watersmeet his own way up front. But I'll take a bit of a flyer here, John, on a Stargazer. One of the more lesser rated runners in the field on official figures. But a six-year-old won an all-weather championship fast-track qualifier 2 starts back at Newcastle. Did that in good style that day before finishing second over the same course and distance at Newcastle last time out. He was given £12 to the winner, Busy Street, that day. He was in a handicap, obviously, but he was given quite a bit of weight to the informed Mick Appleby's runner that day, who's a decent sort in his own right. The third horse, who was also well fancied, the front two came well clear, and the third horse, Stargazer, was given that one £22. So it was an improvement. Despite finishing second, it was an improvement on his win in that qualifier. And as I say, he's got proven stamina. He arrives in form, and for me, he might just be a little bit undervalued in that race. So yeah, I'll stick up my next best bet as a Stargazer in that 3:25 tomorrow.
Okay, well, those are Kevin's thoughts on the racing at on Friday. You'll be able to hear that all with myself presenting on Racing Radio throughout the course of the day. Russ Briley and Gareth Topham will be with me, so we'll look forward to that. On the weekend, we've already mentioned we've got the Northern Racing Festival coming up. Just for a bit of an update as well elsewhere, well, they are inspecting at Sandown, and I don't think it's going to be looking too good there. They were saying it's not completely a lost cause, but that's not necessarily what you want to hear. Weatherby, perhaps a little bit of doubt as well. So
I'm supposed to be going to Sandown on Saturday. I hope it goes ahead, because I do like going on my trips to Sandown, but I dare say it might just be a day for the pub or at home in the office to watch what racing is on. But we'll see.
Musselburgh already been abandoned both days.
Yeah, no chance.
So, we will take a look at Leopardstown, and I think it's nice and open, Kevin. I know you've been doing a fair bit of form study, as we would expect from a man of your standing on the action we've got coming up. So, I'll throw it up to you. Day one, obviously, fantastic action on both days, Dublin Chase and the Irish Champion Hurdle, probably two of the highlights on the Saturday. What are your thoughts on the first day?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Irish Champion Hurdle is the main attraction on the day, but you could argue that people will be looking forward to the likes of the Dublin Chase just as much with the likes of Footpad, Min, Undersow. Undersow hasn't actually been at Leopardstown since he fell there in 2015 in a race won by Flemingstar. So it will be interesting to see if
the season before he learned how to jump.
Yeah. Well, he can definitely jump now. So it'll be interesting to see if he goes to Leopardstown. I'm not too sure he will. As for Footpad, you know, the Arkle just kind of, I mean, after half a furlong in that Arkle last year, there was only two possible winners, Brain Power and Footpad, you know, because the front two just went a million miles an hour. You know, I like Footpad. I've got an awful lot of time for him. I just think he's vulnerable right now. And Min was so impressive in the Dublin Chase last year. He improved about £10 from his opening effort to winning this very race last year. And I just think he's primed to do so again. So Min would be my selection in that race for sure. We'll touch on the Arkle. Assuming the ground stays reasonable, Larishberg is obviously, you know, he's a major, major threat. But I'm just a massive Knock the Noose fanboy, even though he's a 9-year-old. I've backed him at 25-1 for the Arkle. He's ran up to an RPR of 158 on both of his starts this season, even in defeat to Master Dino last time out at Plumpton, which was an excellent effort up in Trip. I think he's just all speed. He's a pace angle in the race. I do think Larisberg might struggle to catch him. Not going to noose. He's about 3-1, 7-2, something around that mark. I'm not too sure. He might be able to confirm for me. But
Not going to noose is 3-1.
Yeah. I mean, even that, you know, I think he's going to give a very, very bold bid out in front. And hopefully they let him take his chance, because I do like him. And I do think he could run a massive race in the big one in March as well.
Riesberg 6-4 for that, the winner of the Grade One over course and distance over Christmas, then Hardline 6-1.
Yeah, I mean, Hardline is he got the better of Get a Bird in that Grade One at Limerick over Christmas. Voix du Rêve is in there as well. It's a good little race. Paloma Blue, you could give an each way shout to as well. He's a very popular horse. People seem to think that he'll start coming to the boil now as well. But I'll stick with Knock the News for the time being. Irish Champion Hurdle, did you want to put out some prices, or shall I crack on?
No, let's take a look at the price in the Irish Champion Hurdle.
Apples Jade will obviously be the quite a warm order there, won't she?
11-10 for Apples Jade. Melon 9-4, 5-2 Super Sunday. Petit Mouchoir 12-1, 16's Farclass, and Tombstone 40-1.
Now, people are complaining about Apples Jade more than likely not running in the Champion Hurdle, saying that she's being not campaigned properly. I just think they all need to pack it in. I think, you know, she's been campaigned very adventurously, I think. Mm. You know, she's won a Grade 1 over 3 miles last time out. She was hugely impressive over 2 miles 4 in the Hatton's Grace. Now she's stepping back from 3 miles back to 2 miles in the Irish Champion Hurdle. You know, if that's not been an adventurously campaigned for a mare, I don't know what is.
You think about her background as well, originally a juvenile hurdler, to then go up to being a staying hurdler, then come back down, as you say. You know, it's, I mean, it's the thing with Apples Jade, because people base it all around festival targets these days. And that's
all around Cheltenham, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'd love to see her run in a Champion Hurdle. I want all the best horses to run in a Champion. There's horses running in the Gold Cup I wouldn't mind seeing running in a Champion Hurdle. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But no, I think Connections do a wonderful job with Apples Jade. And she's obviously got a massive chance here. Mellon, I can't be having him. He's won one race from nine since he's been gelded, and I just can't have him. I think he's an absolute hype horse. He's got no chance in this race, no chance in the Champion Hurdle either. Super Sunday, yeah, I could see him winning, retaining his crown in this race. But I think the bet at the prices, what price is Petit Mouchoir with?
12-1.
Yeah, I mean, he won the race a couple of years ago. He's got 9 lengths. I mean, he was beaten 9 lengths by Sharjah last time out, but he wasn't even put into the race. So I think Connections would be pretty confident that he can make up a lot of that ground. So I think Petit Mouchoir 12-1, worth a little tickle there, you know. Any other bets on Saturday? Castlebourne West is an interesting one in the 12.50 Grade 1. The 2.35 is a Grade B handicap chase over 2 miles 1. I think Moon Over Germany is quite interesting in that race. Nicky Richards also has Duke of Navin entered in that race. He could travel and jump and really take to Leopardstown. And then really we move on to Day 2, which opens up with the 1.15, the juvenile Grade 1.
So there's a handicap hurdle prior to that, isn't there? Which isn't especially, well, it's a Grade B, but it's not, you know, in terms of the Grade One action.
It kicks off proper, doesn't it, with that juvenile with Sir Eric taking on Tiger Tap Tap. The pair of them ran to an RPR of 122 in their maiden hurdle and here last time out, and you know, obviously they're entitled to improve a good bit for that, but I just think Cur Sublime is the horse to beat. He's got more experience. He should have won that Grade 2 juvenile here on Boxing Day. He was under pressure from some way out, but he just kept finding, and he was going to go and win that race, but he came down at the last, unfortunately. I just think if he so long as that hasn't affected his confidence, I think he might have the beating of the other two. So Cur Sublime at around the 5-1 mark, something like that, maybe,
is exactly 5-1, I believe. Let's just have a look here. Yes, 5-1.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, a solid each way selection there. I think the novice hurdle, the 150. We've got the likes of Vision Donair in there, Classical Dream, Aramon as well. Classical Dream won tidy enough last time out. I was quite taken with Joseph O'Brien's second horse there in Tucas, who followed home Classical Dream. He's probably a 16 or 20-1 shot in Tucas, but I could see him improving quite a bit. So from the Classical Dream and then Tucas pair, I'd probably go with the Joseph O'Brien runner. Vision Donair is the elephant in the room, but it's a massive leap to win a maiden hurdle to go into Grade 1 company. So at the price,
it's the Andrew Mount thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've talked about that.
Yeah. It is difficult to make that transition. If Henry de Bromhead ran Notebook he'd also have a, he'd be a very interesting horse. He's going to be a nice chaser in due course as well. So yeah, that would be my thoughts on that 150 Grade 1 Novices Hurdle. Then of course we've got the Irish Gold Cup. Have you got prices for that there?
The Irish Gold
Road to Respect, I'd imagine, is the market leader.
Yeah, 11-4, 7-2 Album Photo, Bells Hill 5-1, also 5-1 Kenboy, Monolith then 8-1, 11-1 Annabelle Flying 12-1 Bar.
Yeah, well, I backed Road to Respect in the Savile Chase over Christmas, and yeah, his run was checked four out. He stumbled really badly. No idea how he stayed upright, but he stayed on strongly from there. And yeah, I just think he was very unlucky on the day. I think he would have gone very, very close to beating Kenboy.
He's a tough horse to get right for me a lot of the time because he comes in the off the back of an impressive run, and you expect him to be right there. I expected him. I mean, I found out he finished fourth in the Gold Cup. I really fancied he might bite at Cheltenham last year. I thought Road to Respect was definitely the main danger. Yeah. It was a little bit disappointing for me.
Yeah.
I just always struggle to
catch
pinpoint.
Him. Yeah. 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 You know, he has all of the ability in the world to win this race, and I can't be having Bells Hill going left-handed. I think he's won 8 from 9 going right-handed, and he's got a terrible record going left. So I can't be having Bells Hill at this time of the year going this way around. Album Photo, he's a very talented horse. He kind of needs his coming out party now, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Album Photo, you know, but he's been very much a talking horse for some time, but he needs, you know, this is really his D-Day. If he wants to be considered a serious Gold Cup horse, he needs to win this race.
How much has he been tainted by the unfortunate end of last season, where, of course, he did win the Grade 1 at Fairy House, fell at Cheltenham in the RSA, and then was involved in that incident at Punchestown?
Well, who's to know how much it's all affected him? I mean, he's clearly got bundles of ability, but things just haven't quite gone his way. Had a little run around Tremor on New Year's Day, beat Total Recall by 6 lengths. You know, that would have given him a nice bit of confidence there. And Invitation Only, who's backed up that form in no uncertain terms, was 16 lengths behind Total Recall in third. So that form does look pretty solid. And as I say, it's just time now for Album Photo to go and do it in a big grade one race. But, you know, if he can beat Road to Respect and Road to Respect gets a clean run around, then fair play to Album Photo. But I'll stick with Road to Respect in the Irish Gold Cup there. Also, on Sunday, you've got the 12:40. It was just Mayor's Handicap Hurdle over 2 miles 2. It was won last year by the well-backed Alatrix. She's entered again. This race was actually won 3 times on the spin by a horse. I can't remember the name of the horse that won it, but it is open to multiple winners anyway, and Alatrix will be there again. Gordon Elliott has 6 horses entered. One of those is Missy Tata, who's a 6-time winner for the yard. She's been off since 2016, but she's a seriously talented mare, and if she runs, she'd have a bit of a chance. But the one I like in that race would be Cut the Mustard. I think she'll definitely appreciate the little step up in trip. She really shaped nicely behind Jetez last time out and staying on very strongly come the line. So I think the additional couple of furlongs will really, really help her Cut the Mustard. And she looks pretty well treated off a mark of 128. So overall, that's just about my thoughts and for the Dublin Racing Festival. Quite a few horses to keep an eye on. Hopefully the weather doesn't get in the way.
Well, provided it all goes ahead of schedule, it looks like it's going to. That would sound both days of the Dublin Racing Festival will be live on Racing Radio. Ken Pitson will be there for us. You'll be able to hear his thoughts live from the track and all the commentaries from the action as well. Of course, I suppose one of the things about potentially meetings in the UK being abandoned is it means there'll be more time to focus on Leopardstown, so every cloud and what have you. But join us on Friday as well for what is looking set to be an all-weather day on Racing Radio. We're going to be racing in the afternoon at Wolverhampton and Lingfield, Newcastle and Dundalk in the evening. And join us again tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And for all the latest on the day's in-play betting, live US horse racing and every UK Greyhound race live, make sure you tune into Betting TV. You can do that on the William Hill website or on the app.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.